Wait, wait, Mr. Postman. It is Wednesday, November 18th. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You're listening to the show, So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you?
I'm great. How
What's
are you?
Good word over on the other side of the desk.
The end.
All right.
Yay.
That was comprehensive.
I'm so happy to be at the radio show.
I'm happy to be at the radio show. All our cares go away with the gay radio show. So I felt like last week you very much enjoyed that we played a media clip.
I really
did.
It gave
us a good bouncing off point. You want to do it
again? I like
this.
Do it again.
Okay, so we're going to do this again. This is a clip from Will Phillips, who sat with his father and spoke to CNN's American Morning about the stance that he took to not take the Pledge of Allegiance. So this is Will Phillips, 10 years old.
I decided that I was going to do that the weekend before when I did it. I was analyzing the meanings of it because I want to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what did you decide in analyzing the meanings of it that caused you not to stand up and recite the pledge?
Well, I looked at the end, and it said with liberty and justice for all. And there really isn't liberty and justice for all. Gays and lesbians can't marry.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of racism and sexism in the world. Yeah.
What's the reaction been from your fellow students at school to you not standing up for the pledge and the views that you hold about this issue?
Not very good. They've taken from what I said an assumption that I'm gay in the halls and the cafeteria. I've been repeatedly called a gay wad.
A gay wad? What's a gay wad?
I really don't know. It's a discriminatory name for homosexuals.
Love Will Phillips, who is a fifth grader. He is putting a stance out there. What were we doing at 10 years old? What stance were we taking?
I actually refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance, too.
Did you really?
From when I was like, yeah, in second grade, I think. I went to my mother. I'm like, what is under God doing in there? And she said, well, you know, some people put it in there in the 50s. And I said, that's stupid. And I wouldn't do it. I was taking all sorts of stances as a kid. Apparently, I wrote to Reagan and said that not letting women in submarines was a problem for me. And
why weren't you on CNN this morning talking about your stances?
Well, because I'm old now.
Oh.
I'm not like that little cute kid, you know?
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So,
but no, that's great that
it's so great. So he's been enduring taunting and name calling from his fellow students, but he is determined to stand by his First Amendment right to free speech. You can't.
You don't know the kind of I mean, I don't know if school is the same now, but I got in a lot of trouble for not saying the pledge for years. Yeah. I got sent to the principal's office once. Usually my teachers were mad if they had any kind of military attachment. But you have to remember that where I went to school, I was right between an Army base, an Air Force base, and a Navy base. So most of the kids I went to school with were military kids.
Will Phillips is really just a modern-day Becca Sheehan.
Yeah, maybe someday he'll have a show on WVEW.
I think he wants to be
a lawyer. If WVEW is still here.
I think he's aspiring to be a little bit more than
No, but than he was so well-spoken on all of the reasons why he would not want to do that. Mm. I was not that well-spoken about it.
It was very cool. Very cool. So very inspiring. We want to thank one of our listeners, Peter Brooks, for forwarding us that story. I actually hadn't seen it, so happy to play that clip.
And where did that clip come from?
Oh, it was off of CNN.
He
did that interview with CNN. Got some great national press, so hopefully it's inspiring action all over the place. Again, folks, we haven't talked about this in a while, about what people can do, and this is something you can do. This is something a 10-year-old is doing. So those people who write us and say, I don't know what to do, there's just nothing to do. If a 10-year-old can come up with something to do and get in the national press for it and fight for equality through a simple action, you too, sirs and madams, can do the same.
Though someone might call you a gay wad.
It is possible. It is possible.
Oh, the creativity of those classmates of his.
So cute. So precious. When was the last time you were called a gay wad?
I don't remember ever being called a gay wad.
Huh.
How about you?
I kind of want to rename the show. This show is So Gay Wad. I'd be okay with that. All right, we're going to play a song. This is a song requested by tonight's guest. We'll tell you about him a little bit later. But we're dedicating this one, too, to Will Phillips. So this is Madonna singing to Will Phillips. Our buddy Madonna. I feel she's our buddy, telling everybody to celebrate. All right, let me give you some hope.
Ready okay, for some hope? I want some hope.
Well, this is
I
just
hope for hope.
Well, this is the testament that everyone stands by. That the more that you come out, and the more that you meet with other gay people, that it's so difficult to maintain a blatantly homophobic attitude when you actually know gay people and you've met with gay people and you've talked about them. Talked with them.
Those gay people.
Talked with them about their experiences. And who is a better testament than that right now than Rhode Island Governor Carcieri, who we talk about, it seems like every... No, it's not an uh-oh. Thanks to a meeting with gay activists, Rhode Island Governor Carcieri now says he's open to a domestic partnership bill, just 2 days after vetoing a bill which would have given domestic partners the right to make funeral arrangements.
Wait, what happened?
He said, quote, maybe it's something we should consider. I don't know enough yet. All I'm saying is I understand the circumstances. I understand the difficulties that can arise for same-sex couples and others. And so he's open to it. And it came right after he met with gay activists.
Good for him for, you know, being open to a discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it took that meeting. So there's hope. And it was just last week. Well, you still, by the way... Rhode Island, not the state you want to die in if you're gay.
It might change,
but right now, not where you want to die. So that was a bit of
hope. I just avoid Rhode Island altogether.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to avoid.
I know.
It's so tiny.
You drive right through and you don't even notice.
So small. I was just there last week.
You said you liked it.
I did. I loved Newport. It was actually quite beautiful. Now, over in our neighbor, Massachusetts, which we get these emails saying, oh, you say your neighbor is with Massachusetts and New Hampshire. You're in the middle of Vermont. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're at the bottom.
in where I live, my next town to the right, if I'm facing north, is New Hampshire.
There you go.
And the town to my south is Massachusetts. So, I am in the farthest southeast town in Vermont.
We're not by Canada, folks. We enjoy your emails. We love, by the way, that we get these emails from you at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Please send us more emails. We want to know what you're thinking. But no, we're not in Canada. I think for anyone who's south of Vermont.
I can see New Hampshire yes, from my house.
But in our neighboring Massachusetts, the mother of Carl Walker Hoover, who was the 11-year-old boy who committed suicide earlier this year after he was taunted with anti-gay slurs at school, she joined with other moms yesterday to urge Massachusetts lawmakers to approve a bill helping to prevent bullying in schools. These mothers spoke of the bullying their children were forced to endure in schools. And the quote was, I know that bullying is not a race issue or a religious issue, and it's not a gay issue or a straight issue. It is a safety issue. So the proposed bill that these mothers are advocating for would require school districts to establish safety policies to respond to bullying. Please, please do this, schools. That's a quote from Ken, not from these much more well-spoken women. It would also require that school administrators undergo training to prepare them to deal with bullying. So we'll keep you posted on that. That is just something, if you're looking, I feel like I'm in that mode right now. If we haven't talked about this in a while, what can you do? What can you do? You need to go to your school in your area and find out if they have protections, anti-bullying protections, and how specific they are. Or if you don't want to go to your own school, I feel like so many people still have these connections with their high schools. Call your high school and find out what the protections are.
Sure.
It's important.
It is important.
It's really important. So that's something you can do. These anti-bullying legislations, there's so many studies out there, particularly by GLSEN, that say schools that have anti-bullying legislations, gay students in those schools do so much better than they do in other schools. It's not surprising. This isn't like some crazy,
no.
crazy, you know, thing that Ken has discovered. It makes sense. Not revolutionary, but it's something that has to happen. So that's happening.
As though Ken couldn't come up with something revolutionary.
I could come up with something revolutionary. I got nothing today. Today I just have some news to talk about. We have an amazing guest to welcome in a few.
Isn't that enough?
I don't know. Some days I kind of want to do more.
You're just not bringing it today.
Well,
huh?
You know, it's not even that. It's when you do that fundraiser, just doing Notes for Life. I'm not sure. I'm like, what do I want to do next? And that was such a big project. And I think I lost sight a little bit of kind of the little things of just talking about some of these issues and being engaged and talking to other people about some of these issues. No, you have to throw this big fundraiser. And it's just not true. So much of the change can happen just in the dialogue. So I need to perhaps get some perspective. Throwing a trans story into the mix, which we must do, Tampa, Florida's transgender population stands to receive anti-discrimination protections under a measure given preliminary approval by the city council 2 weeks ago. But now Christian groups are mobilizing to block these new rights. Groups including the Florida Family Association and the Community Issues Council are urging their members to pack a Thursday night city council meeting tomorrow night where the anti-discrimination measure is expected to be finalized. So if you are in the Tampa, Florida area, you want to get on over there and have your voice be heard to support these anti-discrimination protections for transgender individuals. Really, really, really important.
Indeed.
Yes. So this is one of the issues that people are not fighting for enough. I'm reading Gender Outlaws right now. I don't know if I told you this. As I was in the Marlboro College Library last week waiting for community court to render a verdict. We won't even go there. Actually, this was 2 weeks ago. I started walking around the library, which I don't usually get the chance to do because my day's pretty packed. There's so many books in the library. Don't your eyes at
that
me.
Was just a moment you had there.
There were so many books in the library, and I found the gay section, and I took out all of these books, and I have a stack of books on my bedside
Hopefully
table.
Hopefully, not
that
all
I've
of the books.
No, not all of them. I took out like
Leave
seven
some
gay books.
For the students.
That's true. It's true. But I'm reading Gender Outlaw by Kate Bornstein. And
oh, yeah.
It's so good. So I highly encourage you to question the gender binary, which you should be doing without reading Gender Outlaw by Kate Bornstein. But we got to reach out to Kate Bornstein and get Kate on the show because this book is really good. Good
stuff.
Did
you read Self-Made Man?
I have not read that.
Oh.
We need to do Becca's Book Corner.
I read all the time.
We got to do Becca's. All right, we're adding that segment
Becca's
next
book
week.
Corner. Okay.
We need another B. Becca's Book. I don't have anything else. Becca's Book Corner, we're going to do. We're going to come up with a better name for it. There might be some theme music to it, just to put that
I want there. Theme music.
I know you
oh
do.
My gosh, that I would make oh, do. That would just get me so happy.
All right, we're going to play another song as requested by tonight's guest and enjoy it from Madonna to the ever so sober Amy Winehouse. Enjoy.
I go out bars and I look across the water, and I think of all the things what you've done, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your gentle hip and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Oh, why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. Valerie. Did you have to go to jail? Put your house on up for sale? Did you get a good lawyer? I hope you didn't catch a thing. I hope you'll find the right man who'll fix it for you. And now you're stopping. And anywhere, change the color of your hair. And are you busy? Did you have to pay that fine that you were dodging all the time? Are you still dizzy? Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your gentle head and the way you like to dress. I want you to come on over, stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on? Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water, and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your tender hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over and stop making a fool out of me? Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Oh, that Amy Winehouse character. We love her so. All right, you ready to welcome a guest, Becca?
I am.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
Oh, good. We always get. What if the guest says no one night? We're totally screwed.
No, I'm done. I gotta go. See ya.
Thanks for coming. It was great having you on. I think you really changed some lives with this particular appearance. But anyway, a former pre-med major who later graduated with a double degree in fine arts and sociology, Jack McEnroth has enjoyed just an incredible, incredible career. And he's got so much more to go in so many different parts of our culture. He's a swimmer. He's a model. He's a fashion designer. He co-hosts a radio show. He was a contestant on Project Runway. He trained for the Out Games. He's got a design show in development. Woo! And his work in combating the stigmas associated with people living with HIV has changed lives. It has truly changed lives. Jack McEnroth, welcome to this show, So Gay.
Thank you.
What's the good word?
Wow.
That's basically one of the best introductions I've ever had.
Come on.
I'm gonna take that MP3 and just carry it around with me and play it for people.
Jack, if you want, I can just follow you around and do it. I don't know why you have to do the recording.
He'd be happy.
Fine. Can you also carry, like, a couple bags with you, like, while you're following me around?
You know, Jack, I would be offended by that, but yes, I will do that for you. Not really gonna rule that out. What's going on with you, Jack?
I'm really, really good. I'm actually, the design show you were talking about is kind of... We pitched the hell out of it, so that was with Kevin Cristiano, who was also on my season of Project Runway. It was great. And so I just finished working on another TV project that we shot the pilot for, and now we're in editing, and it's called The Queens of Drag NYC.
Nice.
And it's all about, it's going to be amazing. Actually, you can go to the website. It's thequeensofdrag.com.
Awesome.
And it's just basically we pitched, like, the top 12 working drag queens in New York, and it's about their lives and their struggles and their real, you know, it's kind of a Real Housewives meets John Waters meets I don't know what, but it's going to be fabulous and gritty and bitchy and all those types of things.
That sounds, that just sounds like, that doesn't sound like it felt like work to you.
Well, you try wrangling 12 drag queens all in the same room.
Oh my gosh,
I'll tell you
a little bit of that
at some point, Jack.
Oh no.
Now, this is exciting. I will say this is very exciting for me because, Jack, we've had this run of guests on in the past couple months who have been on different shows, and Beck and I have enjoyed talking to each and every one of them, but you're actually the first one whose show I've actually seen.
So,
I've seen Top Chef, and Jamie was amazing, but I didn't see her season, and I've never seen this Brooke Knows Best. But I actually saw your season of Project Runway, so I'm a little bit more invested right now.
He's nervous.
Okay. Dang. It was really great.
Yeah.
Our season was really extraordinary. The talent was really extraordinary. I still keep in touch with about half the cast. We were all, I think our season, they kind of went for a more professional level of, you know, more experienced cast, so we all were mature enough to get along for the most part. I mean, we obviously have favorites, and there's some people that were crazy because crazy makes for good TV. But
always,
it was a great experience. it's not real, and it's craziness. Like, they filmed 14 weeks of television in 4 weeks.
Wow!
Wow!
We had a challenge every other day, and it was just mayhem.
Well, now, and bear with this for a second, because you'll see where I'm going in a second. This is the most pathetic thing that I'm telling the story, but I feel it relates. When I was 15, I was in this tennis tournament, and I hurt my wrist, and I had to pull out of the tennis tournament, and I still contend, it was like the state tournament, that I could have done really well if I'd stayed in the tournament. And I think about it all the time, and I'm thinking, could I have won that tournament? It was pretty transparent, Jack. It wasn't really. So, Jack, talk me through it. How do I work through my issues of thinking I could have won this?
Well, you know, people like who aren't familiar with the show, what you're getting at is that I chose to leave during the fifth challenge. And it wasn't really a choice. I mean, I had to go to the doctor because I had a staph infection in my face. And, you know, not only was it endangering my own health, but it was endangering everyone else because it was contagious and we're in really close quarters, blah, blah, blah. So I had a long discussion with the producers and I elected to leave. And I was only actually in the hospital for a couple of days, but I couldn't come back because I'd missed a challenge and a half and on. There are many reasons. So, who knows? Tennis tournament is cut and dry. You either win or you don't. Something like Project Runway, that's a reality television show, it's very highly produced, and it's the judging, you know, based on what they're feeling of that day and if they're annoyed with your character or not. And so I do look at it and think, oh, I probably could have done really well, but, you know, I'm actually doing really well after the show.
Yeah, you are.
And you know, I think people had a good impression of me on the show, and I was never in the bottom three. I never got an Alvita Zane. I won a challenge, so
great.
I'm happy with the outcome, you know, and they asked me if I wanted to go back at one point, and I debated it, and then we had the discussion, and then they were kind of like, well, we think it would be unfair, because you kind of know how the internal workings of Project Runway go, and I'm kind of glad I didn't do it again, because the experience I had was so amazing. You know, I wouldn't want to go back and have a negative experience.
So what I hear you saying is, Ken, it's been 16 years. Get over it.
Yeah, you would have lost, is what I'm saying.
Wow, thanks for coming on the show, Jack. Anyway, so you're actually, I had to go back and I was thinking back in January, had Michael Bastian was on the show. And we talked with him for a while. It wasn't even we, Becca. I went back and listened to the show, and it was snowing, and you couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so it was just me and Michael Bastian. So we talked to Michael Bastian, and I was re-listening. I haven't listened to the show in like 10 months. And
I felt like I was there. I was listening.
You were there in spirit. And so some of the things Michael Bastian said that we didn't get to process, but we're going to process with you, Jack.
Okay.
Michael was, we were laughing. He was saying, you know, the gays are pretty well represented in the fashion industry. First, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Why is it? Why is there such a disproportionate amount of gay designers in the fashion industry? What, break it down for us. What is the attraction?
My theory has always been, I don't know, you know, people say you have the gay gene for this and you have the gay gene for creativity. I don't think that's necessarily, that I think there's a lot of men that, you know, and it's acceptable, obviously, for women to go into the field of design, but I think there are a lot of men, straight and otherwise, who have that design flair. My brother's a really great illustrator, and he's straight, and he just chose to be a football coach. But I think at a very young age, if you're heterosexual and you don't have the, you know, really strong drive to do it, you're discouraged to be creative. And fashion design is something that's considered, you know, not masculine. And, you know, I think if you're a gay guy, you don't fit the norms anyway, so you don't seem to care. So I just think that a lot of gay men that have that flair, you know, there's probably straight men that have it too. They just, you know, squelch it. So I don't know. That's kind of my
no
theory.
No squelching.
You should know, Jack, that Michael Bastian gave you a big thumbs up on that show, because we actually talked about the difficulties in doing menswear, and you were like the menswear winner on Project Runway.
Yeah, thank you.
So
it was funny because after that challenge, the producers and Heidi Klum were like, we will never, ever do menswear again. It was a disaster. Well, because they just didn't really understand how hard tailoring is and how many... And I've said people kind of that aren't in fashion design don't really get it either. And I try to explain. I'm like, listen, to make a dress shirt, that's like 40 pattern pieces. Like, you don't even understand. A dress can be, like, 3 pattern pieces. You sew up the back seam and you're done. So, like, you know, the day of the menswear challenge, they extended the challenge another full half day because people were so far behind. And even Carmen, the African-American woman, ended up not even having a shirt. I mean, there were people, like, gluing up to the last minute, and we were all gluing on our buttons and, you know, hemming with... People went and had pins down the runway. Like, it was a hot mess. So, you know, yeah, I was actually supposed to have a vest on top of my...
I recall that.
...that I made. I was like, I had this all planned, but then I had an hour left, and I was like, I can't make a vest in an hour. So I was like, screw that. I'd rather have two pieces that look amazing, so...
You know, the funny thing is I've watched seasons and seasons of Project Runway, but for some reason just now it hit home that apparently designing an outfit and purchasing one are two just very different things.
Yes.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew? So there was this other story that was out there in the news that I would love to get your take on. People were sending us all different sorts of news stories to talk about with you. And one of them actually came out of Minnesota. I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Minnesota AIDS Project... is having their big AIDS walk 2010, and they just kicked off their campaign. And in the campaign, in the advertising, they have pictures, and I'm quoting from the article, of virile, nearly naked young men and suggestive language in their new AIDS Walk 2010 campaign. Now, the group, the Minnesota AIDS Project, says that the ads target young gay men, among whom HIV is increasing, and that this kind of imagery gets their attention. Critics, on the other hand, are saying that the ads aren't instructive and they reinforce gay stereotypes, and that sex should not be used to sell an event aimed at preventing a sexually transmitted disease. Big debate out there in Minnesota. What do you think?
Well, I think they're both right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think there's arguments to be made on each side, which is why it's a debate. I mean, please, not to tout how attractive I may or may not be, but I don't think I would be in some of the places that I'm in now if I hadn't used my appearance to my advantage. So, you know, I've done nudie pictures. You can look at them. You can look them up online.
What? I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. I'm sure you don't either. But, you know, so sex does sell, but I do understand the conflict. It's like, you know, when you're doing an event that revolves around safe sex, and, you know, you don't want to have these explicit ads, but, you know, it does get attention, and, you know, that age range of, you know, 19 to, early, you know, mid-20s, is the HIV rates are skyrocketing, and people are paying attention to HIV and AIDS like they used to. So, I see both sides. I'm not going to take one.
That's a very safe stance for our guests. We encourage that. But even in looking through, Jack, in going through the different news sites and trying to collect different stories, the number of stories about HIV and AIDS, they're just not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I get asked that question a lot now because I'm sort of become the poster boy for HIV. You know, I think it's a double-edged sword. We've come so far in treatment, and you can, you know, basically with the right treatment, living with HIV is just a chronic illness, and it's very manageable, and you can live a healthy life for the most part. And, you know, that's not always the case, but, and I hate to overgeneralize, but that's the best case scenario. So there's not the fear and the attention towards it that there was like in the late 80s and early 90s when people were just dropping like flies.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, fear is a big motivator. When we don't have that, people don't take it as seriously, and that's unfortunate because it's still, you know, yeah, I mean, in my case, and I can speak from only personal experience, it's quite manageable. It hasn't really changed my life that much. In weird ways, it's actually made my life better. But it's also not a party. There are times when it sucks, and there are times when you have side effects from medications, and there are times when you'll be on vacation and not have packed enough of them, or your suitcase will get lost, or, you know, it's just another thing that's a pain in the butt sometimes, and
right.
That's in the best case scenario. So, right. I mean, you can still have a lot of complications, plus there's many other things out there that you don't want to get, whether or not they're treatable. So, you know, you just have to keep reinforcing the conversation about protecting yourself. You're the only one that can protect yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that, oh, my boyfriend told me he was negative and we were having unprotected sex, and it turns out he was lying. So, you know, just take care of yourselves out there, and that's you know, you need to take responsibility for your own well-being.
As you're out there and you're having this dialogue and you're talking to different people about HIV and AIDS, we talked about this a few months back. I had the opportunity with my partner to do the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride, which was, again, it was probably the most fulfilling week of my life. And just talking to other people on the ride and how they were out there in the community educating, and it never ceased to floor them about some of the misconceptions that are still held about HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
Do you have that experience as you're talking to people?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, people that I deal with, you know, are, when I speak and stuff, I'm actually usually preaching to the choir. They kind of are fairly well educated in the realm of HIV. Although, I mean, I have had a few instances. I am very accessible on Facebook, and I have, you know, my own website, jackmcenroth.com, and you can email me, and if I don't have an assistant, I'll email you back. If you have a question about HIV, it's not, you know, I answer all my emails and stuff. But I do occasionally run into you know, a person has sort of a question that I would think is just common sense at this point, but you have to remember that if you're especially a young person, the HIV education isn't what it used to be in the late 80s and early 90s. So there are, you know, new misconceptions again. And the stigma of being HIV positive is so, you know, big and, you know, and overwhelming that a lot of people won't talk about it and feel uncomfortable talking about it. And, you know, I mean, I would say 50% of my friends in New York City are HIV positive, but, you know, the number of them will openly discuss it is very small. So, you know, it's just something that you have to keep that conversation going. I had a really weird experience recently. I was speaking at an event in Philly to one of their AIDS service organizations, and it was a catered dinner. And one of the cater waiters just happened to be kind of listening in. And he came up to me after I spoke and said, "So, how do you get HIV?
No.
And he was like an adult. He was like in his mid-30s, maybe early 40s. And I was just like, "Are you serious?" Like, I didn't even know what to say to that. I was like, "Well, there's several ways you can get it." I mean, it wasn't going to go off into this whole thing. But it's like, you know, that kind of thing makes you have a wake-up call, because I feel like I've been talking about it for so long and open about it for so long that it's common sense to me, but you have to remember that it's not common sense for a lot of people.
Right. Right.
Well, that's true with all of these, like, gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered issues. Like, it comes up again and again. Sometimes you get these questions, and, I mean, some of the questions I get just shock me.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess wanting people to know more than they do doesn't always work.
Right. Well, and you guys, I mean, you're in Vermont, correct?
We are in Vermont.
I mean, and so I actually have never been to Vermont, but I'm, you know, I...
Come visit anytime.
Living in Manhattan, you're also in a bubble. Like, you know, I forget. I do travel a ton, and I do see... you know, other cities and stuff, but I still usually am in fairly metropolitan areas, and you forget that there are places in the middle of nowhere where people don't know anything. I mean, unless it directly affects them, people don't pay attention to certain things. So, and the funny thing is HIV probably does directly affect them, or at least once or twice removed. But you think if you're not gay or you're not an IV drug user in the United States that HIV will not affect you. And that's the big misconception.
And even within the community, it's so amazing how that regional difference makes a huge difference. Moving from New York City to here to Vermont, there are different issues now to talk about here, but I'm constantly floored at the lack of dialogue that we would have all the time in New York City about the relationship between, for me, because I work in education, LGBT students and alcohol and other drugs. And here, that dialogue just doesn't much happen at all, because it tends to be skewed towards an older gay population. So even within the population, it makes such a difference where you are. It's so nutty. So nutty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we want to learn a little bit more about you, Jack. This is where we throw some of your song choices out at you, and you tell our listening audience what the song choice... He's already laughing. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. You tell our listening audience what some of these songs say about Jack McEnroth. We'll start off with the song that played you in. What does Valerie by Amy Winehouse say about Jack?
Well, I just love her, and I think she's a hot mess. And I think that's it's a song she did with Mark Ronson, and I don't think a lot of people have heard it because it wasn't on her album. So I just think it's underplayed, and I just love it. So I just love her because she's just fun to talk about.
All right. Good start.
And I've had my Amy Winehouse moments.
Wait, well, apparently Becca has too. She dressed up for us. I had no idea, Becca.
It's the first Halloween I've dressed up for in ages.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I spent like 2 whole hours as Amy Winehouse. And the wig got itchy and the makeup was pissing
sober?
Me off. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I was
a whole different Amy Winehouse.
Though.
All right, now, what about, obviously, the Madonna oeuvre? There's quite a bit to choose from. You went more on the recent end and chose Celebration by Madonna. Why that song?
Well, that's been on my my playlist at the gym lately, and I just love it, and it was a good summer song. And I mean, I love vintage Madonna. I'm not so fond of the middle years. I just love when she... I was happy that she came out with something new that I liked. So
awesome!
It's just fluff.
We love the fluff.
We are fans of fluff.
Yes. All right, now, and then the song that's going to play you out in a few, which, again, I love the songs. Half the songs I had on my iPod already, Becca. Half are new songs.
The perfect mix.
What about Shake It by Metro Station, which has now found its way onto my workout mix?
It's good, right?
It gets you moving.
Yeah, it's just, I just like the chorus, and it makes you want to shake it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, no, the elliptical level went up by one. Jack, where should people go to learn more about all of these amazing things that you're doing?
I would love if you went on Facebook and just searched the Queens of Drag NYC.
Awesome.
And became a fan. We need fans. You can always find me on jackmacroth.com. I do a great educational campaign with Murr called livingpositivebydesign.com. I'm everywhere. Just Google me.
Okay.
Okay.
Or call me up, because I'm apparently trailing around Jack just giving out his bio.
Yeah.
And carrying a few bags.
There's a guy 10 paces behind me carrying my bag. That's
Oh, man. Jack, it is such...
In the eye.
It would be an honor.
It would be an honor.
For Ken.
Jack, an absolute, absolute treat having you on the show. You are doing such amazing things out there. You are not to get tired, and you got to keep going.
That's right.
Thank you so much. And just really quickly before I go, I know you're having David Daniels on in January, and I'm a huge fan, and he sent me a signed photo of himself. And just tell him I think he's out of it.
It's going to come up on the air now.
Yeah, good.
Awesome. Yes. Jack, thank you so much. All the best, and thanks for calling in.
All right, kids.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Get home if you don't leave me at the front door. Your body's cold, but girl, we're getting so warm. And I was thinking of ways that I could get inside. So now you're falling in love. Let me go now. Thinking of places that I could hide.
So now you're falling in love.
Let me go now.
This feeling's tearing me up.
Here we go now.
Now she doesn't like this when you do it like that. Now she doesn't like this when you touch her eyebrow. Now she moves like this when you move it like that. Come on. Shake, 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 shake. I shake it. I shake, 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 shake. I shake it.
I couldn't get you off my mind.
I could tell you could tell that I was taking my time.
I was thinking of ways to keep you staying alive.
Body shake, tell me off so I can turn off the lights. Now she doesn't like this when you do it like that. Now she touches like this when you touch her like that. Now she moves like this when you move it like that. Come on, shake, 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 I shake it.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I think they want us to shake it.
That's pretty much it. I'm in the weirdest mood right now.
He really is in the weirdest mood.
I would like to renew our pledge offer that we have not talked about lately. We didn't talk about it last week.
Yes.
If you go to wvew.org and you pledge $5 to the station, which means you actually pay for it. You don't just send an email saying you're gonna.
Yeah, we're gonna check on you.
It's a two-part process. Step one. You go to wvew.org, you pledge $5. If you can pledge more than that, fantastic. Part two, you send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. You tell us that you did that, and we send you a big old magnet.
And we'll celebrate you.
We'll celebrate you. We'll say your name on the air, too.
Yeah.
That's like a free thing for us.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen our logo, we have a great, great logo designed by our friends over at Switch FX in New York City. Love Switch FX. Diana, John, everybody else is working over there. Diana's cute little daughter. Love her. So you get a magnet with the logo on it. You can check out the logo at thisshowisogay.com. Now, there was a huge spike in the Facebook membership, which was really fun. So the 500th member is coming up. Oh, yeah. There were like another 30, 40 people who signed on, mostly because of Daniel Mobbs, the
thank you, Daniel
vegetarian
Mobbs.
Bullfighter. Don't kill the bull next time. So that's pretty much it for us, folks. Get out there. Maybe sit down during the Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe go
well,
over
Well, you
to,
can stand out of respect.
You can stand
just,
out of
you know.
Respect. Maybe go over to jackmcenroth.com. I think you probably should. Maybe Google
image him. He does have
some
scandalous photos. Yeah,
what?
On that Google image.
No, I...
Safe search on, folks. Safe search on.
I think that's really funny. I just think that's really funny. That you are, not you, but that Jack is an individual for whom you need to do...
Safe search on.
Safe search on. And if that's not too gay, folks, I don't know what is. Get out there, do amazing things, and remember... Above all else, and say it with us, folks, why be gay when you can be... Wait, don't say it yet. I should tell people... I'm sorry, I'm cutting into it. I just threw you off. The song that is going to play out our show tonight... Sorry, Becca's like, what the hell just happened? I was going to say so gay. The song
I think Ken actually tried coffee or something. I don't know. What's going on?
The song that's going to play us out is Workin' Girl by our guest from a few weeks ago, Kelly King. This song has exploded, so we are thrilled to be able to support Kelly King. I would like to point out that the song exploded right after Kelly King appeared on our show. Coincidence?
I think not.
So we're going to play Working Girl. And on that note, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
Five, make your bed as best you can, cause you'll be living there in the end. Still it works, it's 8 p.m. when you hear him knock, do you let him in?
Just kidding.
Do you let him